All right, good morning, everyone. Today is August 20th, 2024. It's 10 a.m. We do have a quorum present. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. Item number two on today's agenda is to convene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us to item number three, which is a Pledge of Allegiance. You can all join me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of Americans, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, on to item number four on today's agenda is public comment. Public comment is welcomed at the beginning and end of each meeting. These comments should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment was also welcomed again after each item on the agenda, and those comments should be limited to the agendized topic. With that said, is there any public comment in the courtroom or on Zoom? As a reminder for folks on Zoom today, you can use the raise your hand feature. If you're calling in, you can use star six to unmute yourself, star nine to raise your hand. For those in the courtroom, if you have public comment, come on up to the front.
Morning.
Oh, I'm sorry. Come up to the podium, state your name for the record.
Good morning. My name is Jeanette Metz. I'm the owner of Smash My Trash. We are a small business that provides mobile waste compaction for commercial businesses in Story County. We've been operating in Story County since 2021. Our service helps customers to save money on their waste hauling and to meet sustainability goals by reducing the amount of dumpster hauls that they need for their businesses. We are here as we would like to be on record that the language added in the upcoming solid waste franchise agreement with Waste Management in section 4.4 that prohibits waste compaction will displace our business and our customers, as it will potentially force us to cease our business operations in the county. Waste Management has stated to the Lieutenant Governor's office that it is Story County's responsibility to remove the language or make any modifications. And we are asking the county to please remove the limiting language in the agreement or consider grandfathering our business in so that we can continue to provide service in Story County. We invite any questions regarding our business or our position. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment today? All right, I don't see any other public comments, so we're going to go ahead and move on to item number five on today's agenda. It's discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the agenda for August 20th, 2024. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments about today's agenda, sir?
No questions. Thank you, sir.
Vice Chairman?
Good to go. Thank you.
County Manager, are there any changes to today's agenda?
No, thank you.
All right, is there any public comment regarding the items on today's agenda? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's agenda as presented.
Second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number six on today's agenda is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the minutes from the May 7th, 2024 meeting. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments about those minutes?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman, bless you.
Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah. I move to approve the minutes for our May 7th, 2024 meeting.
Second that motion.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number seven, this is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the minutes from the May 21st, 2024 meeting. Commissioner Gilman, questions, comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, sir.
Is there any public comments? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes from our May 21st, 2024 meeting.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to today's consent agenda. Commissioner Gilman, item number 8. You have any questions or comments about the consent agenda?
I have no questions or comments. Thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman.
Nor do I.
Is there any public comment regarding the items on today's consent agenda? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
Second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 9. This is discussion only. No action will be taken. We have Congressman Mark Amaday here to provide and discuss with the board updates regarding Congress and other public issues. Welcome, Congressman.
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Morning.
Morning, Mr. Chairman. Story County Commission members, for your record, I'm Mark Amaday, representing Nevada's original Congressional District 2. Thank you for making some space on your agenda today. I will endeavor to be brief because I know your time is valuable, but if there are any questions on anything that I don't cover or any questions that have been given rise to by what I've presented to you here today, please feel free, since it's your meeting, to go ahead and fire away. First of all, I want to start out with a report on our community project funding. Last year, Story County competed successfully for about $2.5 million to update your water main delivery system in the Gold Hill area. This year, I'm happy to report that you have successfully completed or competed for $1 million for the Divide water line replacement program. So while it's not sex and violence or anything that's going to make the evening news, it's doing the business that all municipalities have to do. And while your budget is much bigger than that, we're happy to play a small role in helping things move along here on the Comstock regarding your utility stuff. I also want to give you an update, since there's a few people that are interested in post office issues. You know, who can imagine that sort of stuff? But the distribution center debacle that had been threatened by the post office nationally to move the Reno distribution center 140 miles west of West Sacramento, whereby all mail in northern Nevada, obviously including Story County, would be taken to Reno, not sorted in any way, shape, or form, and shipped over the hill to be sorted and then sent back to those Nevada addressees for the mail that had Nevada addresses. I am happy to report it's ongoing. It isn't over yet, but there will be no changes to any sorting, mail delivery, anything like that for the rest of this year, obviously, which affects the election. But also, I wanted to let you know that by virtue of my chairmanship last year on the legislative branch subcommittee of appropriations, we have the budget for the Congressional Accounting Office. That's the Comptroller General. Those are the accountants. Those are the bean counters. When this stuff all surfaced with the Postmaster General, I called the Comptroller General and said, I want you to audit the whole plan. And I didn't do that to start. I did that because we had tried to say, you know, what's going on here? What's the justification? How's this going to work in terms of delivery times? And then also just in terms of how you handle the mail now that it's going to be sorted in a different state. We didn't get any answers. We got answers, but we didn't get any answers of substance. Almost kind of reminds you of the old thing on the playground, because I said so. And so called the Comptroller General, said, would you please do a formal audit? We expect that to be done in 3 months from now. It's been going on for about 6. Good sign is when they got a little ways into it, they said, would you send us a letter asking us to audit the whole plan, not just the Reno area, the Reno Sacramento thing, which I don't think is going to make the results of that stronger. But anyhow, needless to say, that fight is far from over. But I can tell you personally that as long as I have the responsibility for representing this district, that's one of those things where you either have to win or be carried out on your shield. Now, those aren't great political terms, But it's one of those kind of fight to the death things where you go, I'm all for making the post office more efficient. I'm all for making sure that they continue their mission in a healthy manner. I'll just tell you that all the information available so far indicates that this is not a way that they're going to save money. Sending it 140 miles away. And here's the one that really gets their attention. And I know nobody in this room's been elected. But the question was asked, well, since Nevada's a mail-in state, who has control over those ballots if something happens when they're in California in transit? Deafening silence. And oh, by the way, that question was asked for the first time about 4 months ago, 5 months ago, and we still have no answer. Just like, well, we're the post office, we'll handle it. Interesting that just yesterday, there was a problem on Interstate 80, which closed it down both directions. So it's not just about the Sierras or 80 in the wintertime. It's like stuff happens on a major interstate with tons of traffic any time of the year, any time of the day. And so that's one of those things that I think got everybody's attention, and the post office hasn't come up with an idea. I don't want to leave the commission or anybody in the room with the opinion that the post office are evil folks and blah, 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 blah. They need to get more efficient. They are in financial trouble. But saying, basically, we're going to try to make this like a mini FedEx for mail delivery and non-parcel stuff isn't going to make them well. And I think when the Comptroller General issues their report, you're going to find that it's not going to be complimentary. And that will provide an objective opinion for why they need to go back to the drawing board and put this thing on suspension. Interesting irony. Interstate 80 was closed yesterday because there was a problem extinguishing a fire with an electric vehicle. Part of the post office's plan that has been put on hold was to convert the whole fleet to electric vehicles. And the problem comes when you're like, well, how do you extinguish those things? I'm sure your public safety folks have a better idea of that than I do. However, there's still some more homework, if you will, that needs to be done before you start changing all of those sorts of things. I want to switch now for a minute to status of lands bills, because while I don't think there's anything in there that directly affects Story County, there is the indirectly, because the Northern Nevada Economic Development Package creates another, if you will, TRI-2 in Fernley, which will be adjacent to Story County, just east of the existing development. We expect that bill to be passed out of House Natural Resources Committee the first or second week of next month. When we go back on January 9th. And the reason I tell you that will set up a dynamic. There are two lands bills in the Senate. One is the updated SNPLMA in Clark County. The other one is the one that Senator Rosen has drafted for Washoe County. It will be stronger for our bill if there is something that comes out of the Senate in a public land sense that we can now go, okay, here's ours, we'll take yours, let's get it done. We have experienced difficulty in getting stuff through the Senate. We had to fight like cats and dogs over 2.5 Congresses just to expand NAS Fallon for national defense training purposes for naval aviators and for SEALs. And so, not that it's not that there aren't solutions there. I think it would be a stronger position for us, but we're going forward either way to dig in and make sure that we get that done. I will tell you that there is it will be a challenge if they pass the Washoe one, because quite frankly, there's a 40-to-1 ratio on public works type of lands set asides. And I can tell you, our bill, we had trouble in the Fallon one because the wilderness component in the House that was at 4-to-1, which, by the way, I don't think is irresponsible in the least, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But we think we've got things pretty well squared away in the House. As of April, through no fault of my own, I like to say, I found myself as chairman of the subcommittee on Homeland Security of the 12 appropriations subcommittees. This is one of them. It's the fifth largest footprint dollars and cents jurisdiction-wise. We have jurisdiction over FEMA, Border Patrol, ICE, Secret Service. Some of you may have heard of that recently, as well as the Coast Guard, to name a few of those agencies. Those have provided us with the ability to have a direct impact on how the appropriations process goes on things like the border, ICE. I just spent a couple of days in the border sector in San Diego, which right now is the largest one in terms of influx. It fluctuates between Texas. Yuma was tops for a while. Right now, it's San Diego, San Ysidro, to see what the Coast Guard mission is in terms of the coastline there regarding border security, as well as the Border Patrol. I think puts us in a stronger position when we're writing the appropriations bill, which starts here in earnest pretty quick, to put us in the best possible position regarding how we try to get the policy right to have a responsible policy. One of the benefits of being the chair is 3 weeks ago, one of the agencies is CISA, which handles cybersecurity for non-defense applications. So that's your power grid, that's your sewer system, that's your airlines, all the stuff you may have heard of. There was a hack into MGM's computers a couple months ago where these folks tried to hold the whoever system they hacked into hostage unless they pay the ransom. Then we're going to keep messing up your website and your computer operations. So we basically had Director Easterly, who runs the entire agency, brought her team out to Nevada, where we met with public safety folks, utility folks, emergency responding folks at the state and local levels to make sure that whatever the issues are that are unique to Nevada, that they've had some face time. I say that to say this: if there are issues that are a concern in Story County regarding those civilian applications, whether they be utility, public safety, fusion centers for response, FEMA related, any of that other sort of stuff, please let us know so we can put you in direct contact with whoever those folks are who can answer those questions, or we can fashion whatever whatever solutions are appropriate regarding your jurisdiction and this area, or in Western Nevada, whatever the case may be. With that, I think I will slow down to a stop for questions from the commission or anybody else. And thank you once again for making some time on your calendar.
Appreciate it, Congressman. Thank you very much. Commissioner Yeoman, do you have any questions for Congressman Amadei?
I do not. Just a hello, Congressman. Thanks for all the support.
Indeed. Vice Chairman?
I don't have any specific questions. Just want to share my thanks for making the trip up here and for your staff. They're always responsive when we have something, and you are as well. We really appreciate that. Thank you.
That's what you pay us for.
Indeed. Truly appreciate the effort and the explanation regarding what's going on related to Story County.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. All right, we're going to move on to item number 10, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 24-748, recognizing and commending a Story County employee who has served 10 years of service to the county. Brandy?
Good morning, Commissioners. Brandy Lopez to the record. The proposed resolution recognizes and commends a Story County employee who has served 10 years of service to Story County. We appreciate and thank this employee for her service to the citizens, businesses, and stakeholders of the county. Brooke Beaumont.
Congratulations. Oh, don't go anywhere. We'll do a photo.
Yep.
Brandy, do you want to go ahead and read that resolution?
Mm-hmm. Whereas the aforementioned member of the Story County team has provided 10 years of service to the community of Story County, whereas the aforementioned is dedicated to her job and duties to the community of Story County, and whereas the aforementioned is gracious in giving her of her time and her expertise, therefore let it be known to all that the Board of County Commissioners of Story County do hereby commend and honor the aforementioned member of the Story County team for dedication and service to the people of Story County, Nevada, this 20th day of August, 2024.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I don't have any questions, but I certainly want to thank Brooke for the work on the recent community events. Those were fantastic. Appreciate you helping put those together.
Indeed. I've had the pleasure of being around while you've been on the force, the department, and you continue to go above and beyond, and it is truly appreciated by the residents and myself in Story County. Is there any public comment?
Sheriff Cullen, for the record, I would also like to thank Sergeant Beaumont for her dedication to the sheriff's office. For the last year and a half, I've been amazed at how much effort she's put in on and off duty, and the effort she put into the recent night outs, and just all around, every single day she's out there taking care of business. Good job.
Indeed. Thank you, Sheriff. Is there any other public comment? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 24-748, recognizing and commending a Story County employee who has served 10 years in service to the county, namely Brooke Beaumont.
There's a motion. Do we have a second?
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Brooke.
Thank you, Captain. We have Jim's fund.
Oh, yes. This is old hat. Long time coming. Thank you. Oh, Jim. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brandon.
Did he get a mug?
Here, we got it.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, on to item number 11. Discussion only, no action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. We're going to kick things off at the sheriff's office.
Commissioners, good morning. Sheriff Cullen for the record. Couple of things. Once again, I wanted to thank Sergeant Beaumont and Stacey York for their efforts and their team's efforts in the recent night outs that we held here in Virginia City and down in Lockwood. They were fantastic. Everything from the helicopters to Stone Cold Steve Austin's race car. So we had all kinds of people involved. It was fantastic. Also, with the sheriff's office, we've recently filled 6 open positions. So you're going to be seeing some new faces. Some of them are in training right now, and some of them are already out on the street. So we're getting those positions filled. And then a quick reminder, the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of September, Nevada Off-Road Association will be holding its Navora Summit, Off-Road Summit here in Virginia City at Piper's Opera House. And it's open to the public. I encourage all the commissioners and anybody who's interested to come out and see what goes on in the off-road world here in Nevada and what these groups do to support that off-road activity. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Thank you for that update, Sheriff. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for the sheriff?
No questions. Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you, Sheriff.
All right. Vice Chairman?
Good. Thank you.
All right. I do want to echo the sentiments. Thank you for a great national night out. I couldn't make the Virginia City one, but I heard it was a great event as well as Lockwood. So thank you.
Thanks.
Moving right along to the Fire Protection District.
Good morning, Commissioners. Jeremy Longcar for the record. So several updates here. Next week, we're going to be sending 7 employees to Susanville, California to get their car seat safety technicians. So that's just going to enhance our program, helping the community install car seats safely. This is kind of a joint effort with the Sheriff's Office. We're glad to have them on board with us, and we're going to be putting a lot of money into that program, trying to build it up to really serve our community better. This Saturday and Sunday, we'll be hosting our firefighter testing. Out of the 74 applicants that we had for the immediate opening of 3 positions, we've edited down to 44. Special thanks to the high school and senior center for kind of coordinating this with transportation and facility large enough to host such a testing. Next, we will be conducting a factory inspection of our Type 6 brush truck in Texas at the end of this week. That Type 6, just to familiarize you with that, what that is, that's the pickup model. With the utility bed and the pump and tank on it, similar to the one we acquired a couple of years ago. This is going to be a nice addition to our fleet here in Virginia City just because of the terrain. They're so much more agile and nimble and able to get around in some of this rocky area. Next, we will be taking possession of a side-by-side here very soon. It's going to specifically be outfitted for EMS and technical rescue capabilities. It'll be stationed in the Highlands. Again, another program that we've started talking about it, at least with the Sheriff's Office and the elements of search and rescue and how we can combine our forces to build that program up. And last, I just want to remind the residents of Story County that our cooperative agreement with the American Red Cross still provides free smoke detectors, residential smoke detectors for anyone. So if you're in need of residential smoke detectors, please call the office, stop by the office, and we'll get the paperwork done and get you the smoke detectors. And I'll answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Chief. Appreciate the update. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for the Chief?
No questions. Thank you, Chief.
All right, Vice Chairman.
No, thank you.
All right. Appreciate the update. Moving right along to Public Works. I believe County Manager Osborne, are you taking this one?
So,
all right.
Thank you, Commissioners. On behalf of Public Works Director Jason Wisberke, he asked me to read this into the record for his department. Trent and I, meaning Jason, and Trent is our service manager. They're on our way to Elko to sign the papers and pick up one of our trucks that they've been budgeted for the different departments in the county and Public Works. Louse Town Road is coming to a close very soon. Sierra Nevada Construction is shouldering, replacing road markers now. And as you've seen, there is a double yellow stripe on the road too. Number two, Public Works will be doing slurry seals on some of the streets in Virginia City in the next couple of weeks. Jason's informed me that he is notifying the community. Some socials will be coming up, as well as the school district and some others that may be impacted by any road closures or traffic reroutes. Number four, as the Road Rehabilitation 2025 Capital Improvement Plan is in the beginning engineering phases by Dowell Engineering. They're putting that together now, and that is a countywide road rehabilitation improvement plan. And then number five, the siphon or the lead siphon for Virginia City and Silver City. The waterline replacement projects are on a somewhat of a hold with no movement from the Bureau of Land Management. So they're continuing with engineering, with Dowell Engineering right now, while they continue to work with the BLM. That's all that Public Works has.
All right. Thank you for that update, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Austin?
No question. Thank you.
No question. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
Thanks.
All right. Again, appreciate it. Moving right along to Operations and Projects Coordinator Mike Northern.
Don't think Mike was on it.
Oh, okay. Oh, no problem. How about our Business Development Director?
Good morning, Laura Mather for the record. A brief update on our federal appropriations for our 2025 requests. As Congressman Amadei mentioned, we know that the Divide Water Main has made it to the next step of the federal appropriations process. We also know that our emergency mobile command center has made it through as well. We don't believe the Piper's Opera House West Wall and A Street project, we don't believe that that has made it through. And the Lockwood flood mitigation, we're still monitoring that. So with the help of the Porter Group, we will continue to keep an eye on these projects as they move through the federal budget cycle. And that's the end of my report.
Thank you for that report. Commissioner Gelman, do you have any questions or comments for Laura?
No, but thank you, Laura, very much.
Thank you, Laura, very much.
Vice Chairman?
Thank you.
All right, thank you again. How about our planning department? All right, thank you, Kathy. Emergency management.
Morning, Commissioners. Adam Wilson, Director of Emergency Management. For the record, I wanted to introduce the new EM analyst in our department. We took Tristan from the State Emergency Management Office, so he comes to us with a lot of experience and some really great connections. We've had him for a month now, and he really hit the ground running, and we're getting a lot done. And this is going to be a great asset for the community to be able to help with those outreach and the plans and the trainings that we've all been so desperate for. For our updates within EM, we just completed a partnership with the school district of running some evacuations and shelter in place and transportation accident exercises and trainings. Those went really well, and they've requested some more of those. They went so well and were so well received that we're going to start running those across the county with the other departments as well. So more to follow on that. A reminder that next week on Tuesday, we'll be meeting for our hazard mitigation plan. We have taken the comments from the first meeting. We've completed the public assessment. We had really good feedback on our public assessment that went out through SurveyMonkey, and all of that has been incorporated to the plan. So we'll be presenting that draft form to the people invited of the partnerships to the county on Tuesday. And then we should be able to get a final draft in front of the board, we're hoping, in October. We met with a emergency manager from Kansas this past week, along with the fire district. They've come out here to learn from us on how to run these mega lithium batteries from a public safety standpoint. And it's just kind of a neat aspect of Tiny Story County is now teaching others across the country on lessons learned and how to partner with these massive companies. And September is National Preparedness Month. So every week we're going to have a new theme. We're working with Julia and the press relation or media relations rather, and she'll be doing our social media pushes. And so that's going to be a really good opportunity and just good reminders. I mean, if we're still in fire season and winter's right around the corner, we're even going to see some sub-freezing temperatures this weekend up here. So it's just a good reminder to prepare now. And so that's what we'll be doing all of September. And with that, I'll take questions.
All right. Thank you for the update, Adam. Commissioner Gelman, questions or comments?
I do not. Thank you, Adam.
Vice Chairman?
No, thanks, Adam.
No, all right. Thank you for that update and welcome aboard. Thank you. Moving right along to the Virginia City Tourism Commission.
Morning, Commissioners. Tom Tuttle, Director of Tourism. For the record, just an update of the events that are coming up. This weekend is packed with quite a number. Motorcycle Roundup begins on Friday with a dance and party over at Piper's Opera House. Then the rodeo itself, and the public is welcome to attend at 10 o'clock down at the fairgrounds on Saturday. There's also the Art Walk on the Comstock, which will be Saturday and Sunday. That will take place between Sutton and Taylor Street on C Street. The street will be closed to through traffic, so it will be pedestrians only from 6 a.m. in the morning until 7 o'clock at night on Sunday. We're expecting quite a turnout for that, so a lot of fun coming up for all the public to attend. The Labor Day Parade will be held on September 2nd at 1 o'clock. That will close C Street from about 12 o'clock until 2 o'clock. For the Labor Day Parade itself, we will have the viewing areas the same as we've set up in the past. So those that come up to see the parade will have plenty of viewing space to be able to enjoy in that celebration. And of course, the camel races will be held September 6th through the 8th. Friday tickets are still available. Saturday's pretty much sold out. A reminder that we'll also have the camel hump. That will be as we bring the camels up onto C Street for a chance to be able to be seen in the public itself, a little ad hoc parade for that event. And of course, our Saturday or Sunday performance also at 12 o'clock is almost sold out. So if you want to get tickets, I highly recommend it. And a reminder to the public for Friday night, we do have $10 tickets available at the visitor center to stop in at any point where you can pick up those tickets that are available. That's my report for this week. I'm open to questions.
Thank you, Todd. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Todd?
I do not. Thank you, Todd.
All right. Vice Chairman?
I don't. Thank you.
All right. Thank you again for that update.
Thank you.
How about the Comptroller's Office?
Good morning, Jennifer McCain. I just want to let you know that our fiscal year 24 audit is in full swing, and I will keep you updated as that progresses. That's all I have.
Thank you, Jennifer. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments for Jennifer?
No questions. Thanks, Jennifer.
Mr. Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again, Jennifer. How about the Assessor's Office?
Good morning, Story. We are Story County. Janice Edden, that's who I am. Janice Edden, Story County Assessor for the record. I just want to let everyone know that the Assessor's Office, the actual physical office, is going to be closed September the 9th to the 13th. We're getting new carpet, so everything has to go out of our office. We will have someone to meet our statutory requirement that will be working. However, might be hard to find them because they're going to be at different areas, but the best way to reach us, we will have a phone, but really the best way to reach us is via email that time. We'll all be checking emails, phone calls and stuff like that, but the commissioner's office, they will know where one of our people is. If someone shows up and they really need to talk to someone in person, we're going to try to filter them through the commission office. But if we can get it out there that our physical office is going to be closed September 9th through the 13th, that would be awesome. Also, I kind of mentioned this a little bit at the last commissioner's meeting. Corrections, I have two that is going to come up later in the meeting. However, personal exemptions, we have held off putting them through along with owner occupancy cards because at this time of the year, you're trying to finalize getting payments posted and then penalties posted. I didn't want to put corrections through, send out a corrected tax bill, and it didn't show a payment, and then didn't show a penalty, and people think it's very confusing. So those will come before the September 3rd meeting. However, again, with, I think it's the 3rd, is that the September 3rd meeting? I believe it is September 3rd. With our office being closed that next week, if you or anyone is waiting on a correction for a personal exemption, if you have not received a corrected tax bill by the end of September, please contact our office. That means that something has been missed, something has been, I don't want to say any paperwork is going to get lost in the whole packing and unpacking of our offices, but please, things do happen. If you're expecting a correction and you have not received it by the end of September, please reach out and contact our office so we can figure out where that is and what's going on with that. Otherwise, that's it.
All right. Thank you for that update. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Jana?
I do not. Thank you, Jana.
Mr. Chairman?
I don't. Thank you.
All right. Thank you again. Moving right along to the recorder's office.
Good morning. This is Drew McPherson, Story County Recorder. I'm providing an update on the project to make all public recorded documents searchable and available online. US Imaging, our vendor, has completed its work of pulling out search terms from documents, including the handwritten historic documents, and redactions have been applied to protect personal information. To search recorded property documents from 1859 to the current day, go to storycounty.org/recorder and click on the big orange button. Recorder's office staff are happy to help you with search tips and techniques. Just reach out by call, email, or visiting us in the office. Thank you.
Thank you, Drew. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments for Drew?
I do not. Thank you, Drew.
All right. Vice Chairman?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Appreciate the update. Moving right along to our IT department.
Good morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. A couple of items here. Working with Stacy York to get the Mark Twain Community Center down in Mark Twain wired up and high-speed internet, which will enhance services down there as well as voting. And then I have three camera projects for the Sheriff's Office coming on board here for the jail, 205 in Lockwood. And that's all I have today, sirs.
All right. Thank you, James. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments for James?
I do not.
All right, Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right, thanks again for that update, James.
Thanks.
Moving right along to Human Resources. All right, let's try Community Development. Thank you, Brandy. Morning, Pete.
Pete Renault, Director of Community Development. Just wanted to update you on our permitting process. Plans, submittals are going great. No hiccups so far. Most of the staff is in training for Mobilize right now. That's the new permitting and inspection app that we have that'll make their jobs easier. It ties the permits with the inspections. So they're in training today till 12 and tomorrow 9 to 12 and then 2 hours on Thursday. So we're trying to kind of keep the office a little slow, keep the walk-ins coming in or either emailing or something else, another way of getting a hold of us because they need to concentrate on this training right now. That's all I've got.
Wonderful, Pete. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments for Pete?
No, thank you, Pete.
Vice Chairman?
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate the update, Pete. How about our Health and Community Services Director?
Good morning, Stacy York for the record. I wanted to thank the County Commissioners and Austin for attending Sheriff's Night Out and National Night Out. We appreciate the support. I also want to extend a big thank you to Robert Hastings, who works in my office. He did an amazing job working with Brooke, getting it all set up. It is flu season right around the corner, so we do have flu shot clinics offered in all four of our communities. Sorry, bear with me. There's a lot of dates and times. So we have in Mark Twain at the Community Center, Wednesday, September 25th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. and Friday, October 11th, 10 a.m. to noon. Lockwood will have Thursday, September 19th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. The Highlands will have Wednesday, September 18th, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Virginia City will have Wednesday, September 11th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And that will be at the Senior Center. And then Wednesday, October 2nd, 2 to 4 p.m. during the Community Resource Fair at Piper's Opera House. We are also partnered with the Veterans Administration doing an outreach program. They'll be at the Virginia City Senior Center Thursday, September 26th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And that's for any veteran, any widow, any spouse of a veteran to get resources. And that is it.
Wonderful. Thank you for that update, Stacy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Stacy?
I do not. Thank you, Stacy.
All right, Vice Chairman.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate the update. How about our DA's office, Deputy DA Brown?
Good morning. No update today.
All right, thank you. How about the County Manager's office?
Thank you, Commissioners. Just want to let you know or remind you and the public that in Lockwood this Thursday, the 22nd at 5:30, we are going to have a town hall to discuss with the Lockwood community the master plan updates with Kathy Canfield and her team, as well as the what we're going to talk about later on today's agenda with regard to parcels in that area. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments for Austin?
I do not. Thank you, Austin.
Vice Chairman?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. How about the Clerk Treasurer's office?
Mr. Chairman, uncharacteristically, nothing to comment on here.
Wonderful. Thank you, sir. All right. Is there anybody else on staff before I move on to our nonprofits that I missed today? All right. Moving on to the nonprofits, Community Chest.
For the record, Eric Schoen with Community Chest. I just have one update. I think a couple of months ago, I talked about a community survey that we are required to do every 3 years, being the designated county's designated community action agency. And through that process, we identify the top priorities as identified by the residents who filled out that survey. So for the last 6 years, I know I've told the story before, but it's basically been affordable housing, early childhood education, and food insecurity. And those priorities help us to make the case for funding, for strategic alignment, to be able to develop the capacity, hence the new early childhood education capacity that we're developing on the other side of C Street and hopefully soon in Lockwood with the new community center. But the link for the current community health needs assessment will be closed at the end of August. If people are interested in providing their input, Story County residents are interested in providing that input, go to our website, www.communitychestnevada.net, and you'll see a little blurb with a link to the survey, and that'll help us. I think we have twice as many respondents as we did 3 years ago, which is great. This is an update, and once we have 3 years from now, once we have new census data, we'll do a brand new start from scratch community needs assessment to make sure we're still tracking with what's important for people here.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Any questions?
Thank you, Eric. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Eric?
No, sir. Thank you, Eric.
Mr. Chairman?
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate the update. Do we have any other nonprofits that would like to give an update today? All right. Not seeing any. Thank you again for those updates. Much appreciated. We're going to move on to item number 12 on today's agenda, which is board comment. Starting to my right, Commissioner Gilman.
I have nothing today. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. Vice Chairman.
I have no specific comment. Thank you.
All right. I do have a few comments today. I'd ask that we take a moment of silence. I'm going to list off some Story County residents that we've lost in the last several weeks. First one being Carlos Ordaz, a Virginia City resident of over 10 years. Two residents in Mark Twain, one being Keith Hartman, a longtime resident. I believe he was the second home in Mark Twain, so he's been with us for quite a long time. And Gregory Bochat is related to one of our employees, as well as his wife was our retired bus driver. And then in my own district, Jim Stewart, he helped with the roads and was also our range manager for the Wild Horses dating back. So again, we've lost those four folks in our community. If we can just have a moment of silence to remember those folks and what they've given to our community. All right, thank you for that. moving right along, item number 13 is discussion only. This is a presentation by Bill Teal from the Las Vegas, LVMPD? a captain or retired with Growler Consulting about the Story County Jail, MOUD, and the community continuation of care model development. Mr. Teal, you have the floor.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And for the record, my name is Bill Teal, Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. I'm retired after 24 years of service, and I'm grateful now to be contracted and doing some work with the state of Nevada under the Department of Health and Human Services umbrella. So basically, I just want to provide an overview on the effort that we're working on the side of the Story County Jail, thanks to the support of Sheriff Cullen and his staff, who've been phenomenal. And I got to say, love Story County, love Virginia City. Been in Clark County for most of my life. So just getting out and seeing what Nevada has to offer, I truly appreciate Virginia City and Story County. So thank you very much for the opportunity to be here today. So medicated opioid use disorder program, that's what MOUD is for. This is the gold standard and what's required by the Department of Justice under the Americans with Disabilities Act related to those individuals who are suffering from opioid use disorder and who have started a program inside of the community. So what's required from the Department of Justice now is that they
they offer that services that have started inside of the community are carried over into the jail environments. So for folks that have had prescriptions for the federally approved medications, whether it's methadone, buprenorphine, or naltrexone, that those medications continue inside of the jail. It creates a lot of challenges for all the counties, not just our small and rural, but I know coming from Clark County, we were really slow to implement a medicated assisted treatment program inside of our facility. It was only just uplifted this past February. Washoe County, I think, led the charge in the state of Nevada. They've had a program in place for several years. So that being said, what the Department of Health and Human Services wanted me to do was to, as a part of their risk needs assessment, was to engage all of our county jails and find out from a baseline standpoint where we were at so we could work towards closing the gap and mitigating our risk and our liabilities and helping support the need of implementing medicated assisted treatment program. Thanks to Sheriff Cohen and the Story County Sheriff's Office. They've wanted the help from the state to work as a part of the multidisciplinary team, which we have some of the members here today, Eric Schoen from Community Chest, Stacey York. She's also heavily involved as a part of our multidisciplinary team that includes representatives from the state, Department of Health and Human Services, Department of Public Behavioral Health, as well as the Department of Welfare and Supportive Services, to include other third-party folks, Sherilyn Rarwood, who I know has a significant footprint in Story County from a regional behavioral health standpoint, as well as NAMI, the Nevada Alliance for Mental Illness, and other parties who are participating in the effort. So what we do is we utilize the sequential intercept map as a, or I'm sorry, model as a roadmap for us to identify what the gaps are and find solutions. The sequential intercept model is basically a model that was put together by mental health professionals in the early 2000s to identify why folks that were suffering from mental illness and substance use disorder were getting caught up in the judicial system and what could be done to help close those gaps. So thanks to the my point of contact with the Sheriff's Office, that's Sergeant Gunn. He's been fantastic in participating in this and us working together and moving forward. So we'll work on identifying or working through each of the intercepts of the model and looking for the gaps and then finding viable solutions that make sense for Story County with the intentions of having a medicated assisted treatment program in place that will save lives and mitigate risk and liabilities for Story County. So what I commit, I didn't come here asking for money. This effort that the state is actually funding, you know, us working as a multidisciplinary team to find solutions doesn't have a cost to it. However, you know, just being transparent, there could be costs related to the actual implementation of medicated assisted treatment. So what I commit to you, the commissioners of Story County, is to alongside Story County Sheriff's Office is just to provide updates as to where we're at. Currently, we're intercept two, which is diversion within the sequential intercept model. And we're continuing to lean into it. And our next intercept after that will be at the time of intake inside of the jail. So any questions for me?
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman?
No, thank you very much.
All right. I don't have any questions either. Is there any questions from the public? All right. Does that conclude your presentation?
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for taking the time to come up.
Thank you, Commissioners.
All right. Moving on to item number 14 is discussion only. Presentation by David Smith of the USGS, an update on the Highlands groundwater investigation. Topics will include status of current monitoring network, water level changes observed in 2023 and 2024, etc. You have the floor.
Thank you. David Smith with the USGS for the record. Good morning, commissioners. And Option control. Thank you. Let's see here. All right. Can everybody see the presentation? Kind of on the way here. But this presentation is a summary of what we've observed in the Virginia City Highlands from 2023 to 2024. And just a little bit of background on why we're collecting this data. In 2017, through looking at groundwater level data that we had available, approximately two wells in the Highlands, and then looking at state records for wells that were deepened or replaced, we noticed that there were some groundwater level declines in the Highlands. In October of 2018, we started a program with Story County to begin to understand that problem. looking specifically at adding monitoring of domestic wells in the Virginia City Highlands and seeing, you know, what are the trends of the water levels in those wells through time. So this is an ongoing project. And in 2023, we extended monitoring for a period of 5 years. So this presentation today is related to that extension, where we were asked every year to come up and present kind of what we're seeing for conditions in the Highlands and how things have changed. This is really important when you consider big precipitation years like we had in 2023, and how that water infiltrates into the aquifers and then becomes recharged through time. So the original project, where we have a report that's coming out this year, that was extended for 2 years. In 2022, it was extended because of the exceptional drought that we were observing. And then, of course, in 2023, the exceptional winter that we had for much above precipitation. So the reports of that project are going to be published this year. The next time I present, I will be presenting that data. So in July of 2023, USNGS and Story County entered into this new five-year agreement. And currently in the network, we have about 63 wells. Most of those are measured quarterly. Some of those are annually, depending on the amount of change that we see in those wells. So to begin with, let's start with domestic well status. So what are we seeing for the number of wells that are going in the Highlands, so being drilled? What are we seeing for wells that are being replaced or deepened in the Highlands? So I present to you a map here on the right, where the teal colors are new wells or wells that have been installed in the Highlands. And then the red wells are wells that have been replaced. And then the red wells with the dot have been deepened. So this is just in kind of general indication on where we're seeing problems with wells. You'll notice that there are some clusters in some general areas where we see those, particularly in the 1 acre parcels, but there are some even in the 40 acres and in the 10 acre parcels in the Highlands as well. Four wells that have been deepened or replaced. Right now, there are about 728 wells in the Highlands, and this number is kind of an estimate due to delayed reporting on when wells go in with the county assessor and then also with the state database. So we're about at 730 wells. Of those, about 16% have been deepened or replaced through time. So this blue graph represents, or this blue line represents new wells drilled in the Highlands, and then the red line represents wells that were deepened or replaced, potentially indicating water level declines. But that's not always the exception. Sometimes there are wells that have inherent issues with collapsing in the Highlands. We've seen some of that with earthquakes. So not necessarily all of those wells that have been replaced are associated with water level declines. So for domestic wells, when have they been deepened or replaced through time? So for this graph, on the y-axis, I have the count of number of domestic wells that have been deepened or replaced. So as we're trickling along through time and development, considering development in the Highlands, you know, there weren't that many homes in the 1980s and have continued to grow, similar to this graph, from what we've seen from the 1980s to the current day. But in the time frame of when domestic wells have been replaced, most of those were replaced around the year 2000. And in fact, last year in 2024, in 2023, there were about two wells. And then this year so far, there's only been one well that's been deepened or replaced through the state records. So I mentioned precipitation a couple of times, and overall, what are we seeing for precipitation? So this black line represents the average amount of precipitation in the Highlands. This is from a point a little bit higher up. So depending on where you're at, there could be a big variance in the amount of precipitation that you get. But overall, the amount of change that we're seeing, like the much above normal, below normal, would be fairly consistent for different sites. We want to draw your attention to the 2 years that we have for the past 2024 being 9.8 inches. The average is roughly about 16.3. So that's below normal. Whereas 2023, it's approximately almost 25 inches of precipitation, much above normal. So we'll consider this when looking at the water level changes that we see through time. We see this pulse of precipitation recharge happening in groundwater wells throughout the Highlands. Also looking at correlation in terms of when drought is occurring and when wells are being replaced. So here's that same graph that I presented with wells being deepened or replaced. And you'll notice pretty big correlation with wells being deepened and replaced with the drought in the early 2000s, and then also the 2015-2016 period, there was a little tick up. And then, you know, 2017 was a very wet year, 2023 and 2019. So we expect to see potentially less wells being deepened or replaced during that time. It's not like to walk through just some of the data and what we're seeing with the Highlands. We'll start kind of higher up in the Highlands and Geiger grade and work our way down towards the Virginia City Virginia City Highlands Fire Station. So in this one on Highland Road, what we've seen through time, most of these wells we started monitoring them in 2018. Sometimes there's an older period of record on when the well was drilled, but most of the recent data that we have begins in 2018. It'd be nice to have a longer period of record, but you know, this is what we had. But for this well in particular, you know, what we've seen through time is a general increase. I've mentioned, you know, paying attention to those pulses. We see 2019 was above normal water year for precipitation. In 2023, you can see that corresponding pulse and recharge and increase in water levels in this well in particular. And this will be very common in most of the wells that I'll be showing today as we move further down into the Highlands. But one thing I did want to draw attention to is look at the scale. So here we've got the total depth to water in this one in particular is right around 166 feet to water. But the annual change that we're seeing is right around maybe a foot or two through time. That is a good indication of storage in the aquifer. So if there's more storage, you would see less change with those pulses through time. As we move further down into the Highlands in the 1 acre parcels, this is another well that we started monitoring in 2018. We can see those same sort of pulses, but we look at the magnitude of change. So for this graph, and for some of you back here, it'll be a little hard to see, but the y-axis goes from 255 to 270 feet. And so the change that we saw from the 2023 winter was roughly a 20-foot increase. For this well in particular, you know, we were observing this decline and then this monster increase happened after 2023. But another thing to consider is how deep the well is. For this well, it's 358 feet below land surface, so roughly, you know, 100 foot of head potential or space for that water level to decline is something to consider for these wells as well. Moving on further down, we see the same pulse in a lot of the system. Where we don't see this pulse indicates potentially an area where there may be a problem, wondering why that recharge signal isn't hitting at the water table and becoming recharged. Perhaps that groundwater flow path is just longer, and I'll say just maybe a year longer for that water to get there. Potentially, they might not ever get there. So those are some of the things that we're monitoring with this network through time. Another one, so this is a house in Cartwright, where over time, so we have a good record that the homeowner kept for water levels collected prior to our project. And so with this, we know that when the well was originally drilled, it was about 75 feet, 60 feet to water. And through time, we've seen a 200-foot decline in the water level in this well in particular. But since we've been monitoring since about 2018, looking at the trends in precipitation, things are fairly stabilized, and we do see the pulse from the 2023 winter increasing almost about 60 feet in this well. But again, that 60-foot increase is a relationship to the amount of storage, so potentially less water available at a well like this. So now, if we take all of this data together and produce a map for water level change, so I mentioned 2018 is the period when we originally started collecting a lot of this data. We can look at the change that we've seen in the network through time. This has changed a lot. I presented this a couple different times up here. I believe when I first started the project, most of the wells were declining. Then it became about half were increasing, half were decreasing. Currently, of our 63 wells, 51 are increasing from 2018, and then 12 wells are declining. The range, I've got red and blue dots. So the red dot represents a decline of 135 feet to minus 25 feet. So the trend is going down at those sites that are red. And pink sites are minus 25 to 5 feet. White indicates generally not that much change, about 5 feet of change from minus 5 to positive 5. Then the lighter blue colors represent increasing water levels. The darkest blue representing 25 to 78 feet. So again, in this period with higher precipitation, where we're seeing more increases in water levels is associated with areas that don't have as much storage as other areas where we're not seeing that much change at these sites. Now, the hydrograph I present here represents Pinyon Park in the Virginia City Highlands. So this park is a nice area where it's not a well that's actively being pumped.
And so this signature is fairly stable through time. But again, we're seeing that pulse from 2019 declines with below normal precipitation, and then 2023, same thing. So overall, the record, you know, is fairly stable at this site. And it's just interesting to consider these changes that we're observing in the network with these above normal precipitation events. So for our planned work, our next measurements will be in September of 2024. We're going to complete our peer review of our report, and Story County will have the opportunity to look at that report as a courtesy review. Like I said, the next time I'll be here will be to present the findings to the commissioners, and then we'll also present this information in the Virginia City Highlands at the Community Center. I'm located there after the report is published. We do get a lot of questions from people interested in moving into the Highlands on groundwater conditions, and so it's really nice to be able to point them to different resources that we have available online, like this presentation will be available through time too. I do have an open request. If there are people who know of any problems or wells that are going dry, you know, we'd love to hear about it, and we'll try to measure it if we can. So to get in contact with us, the details are on this side. So you're welcome to email me. This PowerPoint presentation will be available online. So these resources will be available to you. You're welcome to use the QR code if you want to look at some of the data right now. And then the last slide I have is just overall how to access some of our data. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but know that this information is available. And if you'd like to access the data, you can always reach out if you're having problems. So with that, I'd like to open it to any questions you all might have. And thank you for the opportunity to present this data.
Wonderful. Thank you, David. It's always a pleasure to have you up here. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for David?
No questions. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman.
Hi, David. Thanks so much for the update. As I look at this, it appears to me that 2018 was the year after a significant precipitation event, and 2024 is the year after a significant precipitation event. I know maybe that's not empirical, but it seems like we've completed a cycle, if you will, or have a starting point that's fairly representative, and we're back to that point. Is that a kind of a correct understanding of what we're looking at here?
Yeah, I think we've been very fortunate to have the period of record that we have for the study to see how much the above normal and below normal precipitation events, like when does recharge occur, is the question that we're interested in. And we've been fair. We'll be able to answer that with the data that we have. But yes, it is good to start with a period that's about the same, and then also to have extreme drought in the conditions. So the period of record that we have is valuable, to say the least.
Very good. Thank you. I don't know if this is within the scope of your study, but I know that water delivery has become a pretty significant impact within this area, somewhere in the range of 60 residences receiving water delivery. I don't know if there's a way to correlate that with what we're seeing with the number of customers that they are serving, representing less water being pulled out of the ground, and how that may correlate to the data that you're seeing. But I just thought I'd mention it. I don't know.
Yeah, so the number 60 currently?
Somewhere in that range, I believe, between 60 and 65. And it's not all because of water levels dropping. A lot of times it's a decision that's made based on water quality.
Yes.
And it's actually cheaper to have water delivered than it is to treat.
Yeah. So since 2018, you know, we've had this request that if their well is going dry or they're having problems, reach out to us. You know, we'll come measure it if we can there's been very few individuals who have come forward with wells that represent that sort of case. Currently in the network, we don't have any wells where water is being delivered. We are open to that, but I understand that we also represent government and concerns with that. But the data that we collect is public to everyone, and it's to monitor our groundwater resources in the community. So again, you know, happy to collect that data, but it just hasn't been represented in the network because we're relying on volunteers to participate in this study.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Awesome. I don't have any questions for you, David. Is there anybody in the courtroom or on Zoom that has any questions for David? All right. Just to cover, David, in your report, you have the well depths for all the wells on there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so the wells that are having to be re-drilled, are those particularly shallow wells or deeper wells?
I would tend to say shallower, but there's always, I feel like in the Highlands, with what we've seen for data, there's always an exception.
Yeah.
It just depending on where you look. But I don't always know the reason as to why those wells are being drilled.
Sure.
So, they tend to be shallower wells.
Fair enough. Again, thank you for that update. It's always a pleasure having you here. Look forward to seeing you out in the Highlands.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right.
Thank you all.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Okay, moving right along to item number 15, this discussion for possible action, discussion and possible approval for the assessor's office to review and apply corrections to the American Battery tax bill in the amount of $156,784.01 due to the company's non-reporting of personal property declaration.
Good morning again, Janice Seddon, Story County Assessor for the record. I'm going to briefly, before we go over this, because I'm not sure how many people really understand the personal property reporting for Nevada. It's the same in all of Nevada, not just Story County. In the middle of June, we send out a personal property declaration to all companies. Reporting is due every single year. For the new companies, sometimes they don't quite understand what's going on. This was a very different type of a case because American Batteries took over Aqua Metals building. They also took over quite a bit of their equipment. It was a lease agreement buyout. So I think they were a little confused as to who is supposed to be reporting this equipment. However, we sent out a declaration. We sent out a couple of demand letters saying, hey, this has not been turned in. We actually went to the property and tried to speak with someone at the property. It was in operation. However, no one ever answered the door. We couldn't get in. We actually reached out to Scott Jolkover, which has, I apologize, I don't know exactly what connection he has, but we knew he did have some sort of connection because he reached out to us and asked us a question. And we said, hey, by the way, who do we talk to? We got emails from them. Someone responded and said, hey, I'm supposed to do that. We sent all the information. We patiently waited. Again, nothing happens. Like I said, we send stuff out in the middle of June. Our personal property roll closes April 30th of the following year. So at that time, for all companies who have not, who are in business and have not turned in a personal property declaration, we per NRS add an estimate of an assessment, and we bill them. So American Battery still didn't reach out to us. It wasn't until we are lucky enough to have an ordinance that if a company has any taxes owing, that they cannot renew their business license. So once they couldn't renew their business license, they promptly called us and said why. We went through everything. At that point, we finally found someone else. We were told the person that contacted us and said they're responsible for this. Oh, they're no longer with the company. They never got it turned in. So we have another gentleman that contacted us. He said, because we used Aqua Metals as their estimate of what they had. Aqua Metals had a lot of equipment, therefore it was a very high estimate. We had no idea what equipment they took over. So they have asked us to do a correction on this tax bill based on a correct declaration that has been submitted. I do want to let the board know that at this point, the board does not have to approve this correction because they missed every deadline that there possibly was. However, I stated in my letter that we do strive to make every effort to help and show goodwill to our new businesses. Therefore, I am asking the board to please approve the below correction of the 23-24 personal property tax bill. The original tax bill for the estimate that we applied would have been $19,975,875. The corrected bill would be $7,031,838 for a total difference of $12,994,037. Do you have any questions?
All right. Thank you, Jana. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
I have no question. My comment would be I follow the direction and recommendation of staff. Thank you, the department.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
Jenna, just to be super clear, the figures that you just gave were the taxable value.
That is correct. That is the taxable value, not the tax bill. Those are taxable values. Would you like me to, the tax bills just below it, would you like for me to read those? Because I think I actually said that wrong. I think I said taxes instead of taxable value.
Either way.
Okay. So the original tax bill was $241,956.79. Corrected tax bill is $85,172.78 for a total difference of $156,784.01. Oh, that's a mouthful.
Perfect. And I guess my only other question would be, are you confident at this time that they have a sufficient understanding of how the system works and that we're fairly confident that they'll be able to follow the program as outlined in the future?
As long as this person still stays there, we do have a lot of turnover. And I will say that Laura Mather and my office and actually community development, we have tossed it around, and I think probably before next year, we're going to try to get a program set where there's information for our new businesses on what this is and why we do it and how to do it and who to contact if you have questions. Again, the problem is you get someone in, the tax person that's supposed to do it, and they leave, and then the next person comes in, doesn't have that information, and we start all over. But
understood. Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. I don't have any questions for you, Janet. Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right. Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the assessor's office to review and apply corrections to the American Battery CM00528-2023-2024 tax bill in the amount of $156,784.01 due to the company's non-reporting of personal property personal property declaration.
Second that motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jana. On to item number 16, which is discussion for possible action. Discussion and possible approval of assessor's removal of tax bill for International Paper Molded Fiber LLC in the amount of $52,571.65 due to double billing. Jana?
Again, Jana Seddon, Story County Assessor for the record. This is kind of like the exact opposite of what we had for someone non-filing. International Paper Molded Fiber LLC purchased Berkeley MF LLC. We did not know that. Berkeley had filed once International Paper purchased. This was kind of a timing issue. They also filed. However, International Paper Molded Fiber did not tell us that they had purchased Berkeley. We had already billed Berkeley. Berkeley paid for theirs. We sent a delinquent notice, and they finally came back and said, hey, Berkeley paid for that. We're the same company. So this is it's a little also different because Berkeley did have a go-ahead abatement at the time. International Paper Molded Fiber did not have the abatement. However, in this whole time period, they've gone through go-ahead and they have assumed Berkeley's abatement. So in the future, they will. But that's why when you look, if you tend to look at what Berkeley's bill was only $19,000 and this one is $52,000. That's why, again, it was kind of a difference. Nothing caught our eye on this one. So this is a case of double taxation. So again, I'm asking the board for me to be able to remove this tax bill for International Paper Molded Fiber LLC.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I'm good. Thanks.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah. Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the assessor's removal of tax bill for International Paper Molded Fiber LLC, account CM000476, in the amount of $52,571.65 due to double billing.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jenna. Moving right along to item number 17 is to recess convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board. Bringing us to item number 18, which is discussion for possible action. Discussion and possible consideration to approve Story County Fire Protection District provision as built submittal guidelines outlining the process and associated fees for submitted construction plan revisions and as built construction submittals. Chief?
Yes. Good morning, Commissioners. Jeremy Longcar for the record. So I present this to the board today as merely just some transparency and some housekeeping. I know in reading that title, probably the buzzword that sits in there is fees. So I'm going to start by just addressing that. And this document in its entirety is we wanted to find a way to a path forward that was better than what we're currently doing for our as-builts and our the revisions. Well, we'd already adopted a fee structure. So I want to make it real clear. This is not adding any additional fees. This is in compliance with our developer agreement that sits in TRI and has been over to the DA's office for approval. So in just saying that, this was a collaborative effort with the building department as well as the fire district as far as getting companies to submit these as-builts or revisions in a more coordinated effort and something that we could all agree on. So I present that document to you today just to outline that process and show where those adopted fees are going to be applied to that process. And I'll take any questions you may have.
Thank you, Chief. Fire Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments for the Chief?
I have no questions or comments. Thank you, Chief.
Fire Commissioner Mitchell?
Thank you.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Fire Commissioner Mitchell, are you prepared to make a motion?
I am. I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the revision as built submittal guidelines for implementation.
Second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
On to item number 19 is to recess to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Bring us to item number 20. Discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval to appoint Stacy York to the Story County School District's Emergency Operations Plan Development Committee as a county representative. Stacy.
All right. Good morning. Per NRS, the Story County School District is required to have this committee. Kim Hames has asked that I be appointed to it due to my involvement in health and community services and emergency management. So here I am looking for you guys to make that motion to appoint me.
All right. Anything else, Stacy?
No, sir.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
No questions. Thanks, Stacy.
Vice Chairman?
Well, thank you.
All right. You have a ton on your plate. It's all good with this.
Yep.
No problem with the appointment. Thank you for stepping up.
Of course.
Anyway, again, any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the appointment of Stacy York to serve on the Story County School District's Emergency Operations Plan Development Committee as a county representative.
Second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you again, Stacy. I'm going to ask that we take a short 10-minute recess before moving on to item number 21. We'll see you back here right around 11:34.